Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So happy Father's Day to everybody. And at the end of the service, for all of our dads, we have a pair of socks. So this year we have a pair of crew socks. If you want to wear these mowing the lawn with a pair of wingtips, wife beater shirt, embarrass the kids, you know. And then we have, what are these called right here? Just ankle socks. So we're gonna pray God blesses the socks off you at the end of the service, if that's okay, all right? So we continue our sermon series, just we're calling this basic, but I'm going to actually conclude it this week, because next week we're going to take a journey together for the next 12 weeks over the summertime. So beginning next week, I'm going to do an introduction message to a sermon series that we'll preach for the next 12 weeks called Baggage. It's called Baggage Summer Sermon Series, and we're preaching expository from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 32. We'll take one verse every week, and this is our challenge to the congregation. We're actually going to give you a token of reminder for next week. We're going to have you sign up. We're not going to collect it, but we're going to ask you to participate with these two things, and maybe even a third. The first will be this: I will commit to memorize Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 through 24. That's actually five verses, verse 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 24. That's five verses. Sorry about that. We'll preach a couple extra verses, and if you want to memorize all of them, that's the platinum level. But just for five verses, you have all summer. And then we're going to challenge you to attend a weekly church service throughout the summer, either at Marlton Assembly of God or at another church while you're on vacation. So we want you to take a vacation, not all at the same time, of course, but some people will just be gone all summer long and not go to church at all. So if you're at Ocean City or LBI or maybe you go to Disney or whatever, that you would still go to church while you're away. So of course, if you're in town, you should come to church here. But you know what, we went to California, we had a business trip, and there was a Saturday night service at 4 o'clock, and so because we were traveling, whatever, on Sunday, so we went to church on, that church had a Saturday night, 4 o'clock, but for me and my household, we want to serve the Lord. Part of that is staying in church. So this summer, we're asking you to commit to memorizing five verses, and then go to church, whether it's here or somewhere else, that will help your spiritual life. And then we're just leaving this called Other. Maybe you say, I'm going to get off social media for 12 weeks or 4 weeks. Maybe I'm going to read my Bible every day every day. I'm going to start tithing. I'm not going to watch rated R movies. It could be something in the positive, or maybe you want to eliminate something out of your life that God speaks to you about. This is not a legalism or something you have to do. But you say, Lord, I want to continue to grow in my relationship with the Lord. The church is moving forward. The scripture talks about baggage and laying down the things that hinder us or hold us back and taking hold of Jesus Christ. We're going to do this together. We're going to challenge you next week as the introduction message about baggage. So maybe you can start thinking about that and moving forward and believing God for something wonderful. So fathers, I want to challenge you today. What is our relationship with God? Like, what do we call him? For example, if I meet somebody, I just met somebody new today, and the first thing I said, what is your name? My daughter, I have three daughters, they were in the first service, I had them stand on Father's Day. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a father. My middle daughter's name is Joanna, but if you asked her name, she would say JoJo. People call me JoJo. So her official name is Joanna Wegner, but what they go by is JoJo on the street. You know, when she's down in the hood, it's JoJo. She's in the hood. That's her name. The other thing that people say, where are you from or where do you live? If you say, hey, John, where are you from? I would say, listen, I was born in Michigan, Sparrow Hospital, Lansing, Michigan. I moved when I was 5 years old to North Jersey, and I've been down in South Jersey. I'm a resident of Marlton. I pay way too many property taxes. Anybody else in New Jersey? So it really depends what you're asking, where I was born, where I grew up, or where I live now. And the other question, kind of the other question is, like, what do you do for work? Or like, what do you do? I want to show you, in our relationship with God, what we are to call him, where he's from, and what he does. Most people, when you say God, they're almost a little confused. Like, what do you say? Like, God? Or if you just listen to some people, hey, the big man upstairs, or the guy up there. Or some people are so lax with it, they hear words like God and then the word damn and they put it together, or Jesus Christ as a curse word. But to actually put God's name together on Father's Day, what do we call him? You know, the people that were closest to Jesus, they admired Jesus for his relationship with his heavenly Father. Jesus would slip away from everybody and spend time with the Lord in intimacy. You know, remember every big decision Jesus, when he had to pick his disciples or apostles, or went before he went to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they came to Jesus, Lord, teach us your ways. Teach us how to pray. Luke chapter 11. And this is the relationship that happens with God. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us. Teach us your ways. Help us to understand who God is. Or I saw a Facebook post by Pastor Jermel. He's a staff evangelist. He was watching TV, and his daughter, Danielle, came and put her head on his chest, on Jermel's chest, and said, Daddy, I can hear your heart beating. Jesus spent so much time with his heavenly Father, he knew the heartbeat of God himself. I want to suggest to every man in the room, every father in the room, that you would draw close to God and you could hear the heartbeat of what God wants for you as a father, and you would be able to discern what you should call him, where he is from, what he does, and you would be close to him. And we're more familiar with what's called the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And I want to show you what I'm going to preach about this morning. The Lord's Prayer, disciples' prayer. It's just the first line of what we would call the Lord's Prayer. My Father in heaven, holy is your name. This helps us understand the person of who God is, what we should call him, and also, fathers, how you should model being a parent. First is father, and it's personal. You can know God personally. Pastor Liz said, a personal relationship with God. He's not the man upstairs, like this big guy upstairs. He's not far away. But he also, the Bible says, is in heaven. His perspective is different than ours. And he is holy. His name is holy. So I want to talk to you about what you should call him and who is God once the relationship starts. Now, can I just say this? Pastor Andy was right. On Mother's Day, I think Mother's Day is the number one day for cards to be written from Hallmark. Do you know the least amount of cards written by prisoners is on Father's Day? Father's Day is a difficult day for a lot of people because of their relationship with their dad, or maybe lack of their relationship with their dad. But I could just tell you, in today's system of the family in America, holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Father's Day are a difficult day for a variety of different reasons. But for whatever reason, Father's Day is difficult. Most men have a challenge in relationship with their earthly father. I don't know your relationship with your dad. Maybe you have the best dad in the whole world. And by the way, my dad could beat up your dad, all right? I'm just saying, if you want to go. But let me just say this. We're going to sing a song at the end of this service. It's a great little song. He's a good, good father. The father I'm going to talk to you about is not your earthly father. He's a heavenly father, and he's good. And whether you come here or not, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I want you to know that we love you and care about you. And on a difficult day, you're trying to put things together like a puzzle. We just want you to know that there's a loving and good God in heaven. And we recognize that today may be a difficult day for you, but we believe that God is good. So we start with this. We call him Father because of a relationship of love. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it did not know him. You say, John, tell me about God. Well, listen, when you come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God calls us children, and God begins this love relationship with us that he initiates. And what happens is God wraps his arms around us, calls us as his children. He says, listen, don't call me the man upstairs, but call me Father. This is a love relationship where he moves in and you have a relationship, a very personal relationship. And mom, I said this before, dads, you say, how should I treat my kids? If you will treat your children, moms and dads, if you will treat your children the same way as God treats you, that's good parenting. So the first part is like this closeness, this personal relationship that we have with God through love. So every father in the room, love your families because God is love. If you're married, love your spouse. Love your children. That's God's way. God is love. Secondly, God lives close to his people. You say, what do you mean? Jesus was called Emmanuel, God with us. So God loves us and God lives with us. He comes close, so you don't have to worry about safety or security or knowing, does God love me or care about me? God wants to wrap his arms around us and he wants to love us and give us that assurance. Like the old hymn, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. When you're alone by yourself, you will feel God just tell you, I love you. Frank, I love you. I'm your father. I care about you. I got this all worked out. You can trust me. I'm a good God. He pulls us into safety and security. Fathers, what you provide for your family is safety, security. So there's been three people in our household. We have a three-bedroom house. The people who owned the house before us converted half of the garage into a bedroom. My mind has been my wife and I upstairs with our youngest, our 14-year-old daughter, upstairs. For whatever reason, I haven't been sleeping all that well. And 2-3 weeks ago, someone we thought was breaking into our house. The garage door went up in the middle of the night. Scared us. We called the cops in. If you remember 2 years ago, someone actually tried to break into our house. I don't know why people try to break into our house. We have nothing of value inside of the house except people. But someone came up on the second roof and broke the window. So I have this idea that someone may be breaking into our house. So the other night, I think it was Friday night, all I kept hearing was the door that goes from the house into the garage, the interior door, making a squeaky sound. It's like at 1 o'clock in the morning. I just kept hearing, and I kept hearing footsteps downstairs. And I'm waking up, and I'm like, honey, go take care of the robber. I have to get up in the morning. I got to preach. I'm just joking. But I kept hearing this noise. I'm like, is someone breaking in? You know when you're kind of not there, you're trying to figure it out? And I remembered I had left a window open in the dining room. That would be the window to go in, because all you have to do is kind of step in. We leave our kitchen windows open, but you can't really get in. We would hear that. But I kept hearing pitter-patter. I'm like, there's nobody downstairs. I'm like, oh, we have college-age kids now home. They like to sleep in. They stay up at night. And I keep hearing this thing. And so I finally get out. I have boxed up. Who's downstairs? Dad, we're down here watching a movie. It's like 12:30 at night. Or now it's now in the morning. I kept hearing, I'm like, oh, that's right. I said, I wonder if I'm being a good dad. Have you ever asked yourself, am I a good dad? And I kept hearing the sound in my head as the door going back. I'm like, who's going in and out so much? Can I have that? And so I had to actually ask my daughters. I said, guys, I have to talk to you about something. I have two daughters, and I'm not sure if I did a good job. But do you hear that noise? I said, do you guys know what WD-40 is? I said, do you know what this is? Because I'm not being a very good dad if I haven't given you guys WD-40. You have to get it with the straw. And I said, guys, this is really, I just went there, squirted it, and went back to bed. It went away. It was great. I said, guys, listen, I just have to get this out of my head because I'm not a good dad if I don't show you WD-40. And I said, guys, to my girls, I have all girls. I said, girls, do you guys know what duct tape is? Do you know what this is? This is necessary for modern day living. You're going to marry some guy and you're not going to know what WD-40 is and duct tape. And then I said to myself, I asked Abby, I said, Abby, have I showed you how to jumpstart a car? Like if your car breaks down, you put the reds on the reds, you put the blacks on the blacks. She goes, Dad, the AAA guy, he showed me how to do it. I said, oh, no, I'm not a very good dad. I think what dads do, they show the love of God to their family. As God treats you, so you treat your family. If God gives you love, you say, I'm going to love my family. If God comes and lives close to us, we come and live with our family. With all the nuances, all the trouble, all the problems, the health issues, the life issues, we just say, Lord, we're here for our families. And God is very practical. God is very practical. God just teaches us on a regular level. For example, every man in the room, we stress about finances, how we're going to pay the bills. This is the promise that God said. He said this in Philippians. He said this, and my God will meet all of your needs according to his riches of Christ, of his glory in Christ Jesus. The Bible says God will meet all of our needs. He will take care of all of your needs. Every man in this room, God will take care of every need that you'll ever have. Isn't that good promise? He's a good, good father. Secondly, he also talks about he will discipline us. So listen to this. This is another side of love. When we get off track, God brings us back to where we need to be. Discipline's not a bad word. We've made it a bad word. If I would say I'm going to discipline my kids, what most people in modern America say, you're going to hit your kids or abuse them, and I'm calling DIFUS. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a loving God who brings us back into relationship. And every mom and dad, if you're going to have successful kids, you're going to have to do what God does for you and bring them back into play the right way. Watch this scripture. See, how do I raise kids? In your struggle against sin, you do not yet resist to the point of shedding your blood. Oh, is this right? Let's go right to verse. And you have you completely forgotten his word on encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? Just leave it there for a second. In our relationship with God, God loves us. He wants to wrap his arms around us. He promises us safety and security. He promises eternal life. But when we mess up, it's not because he doesn't love us. It's not because he's going to abuse you. But he wants to bring you to discipline in your life. Now, my dad, he didn't play. You remember those commercials where kids would stick stuff in their rear ends? That was my dad. I walked around with a big booty all growing up. If I was disrespectful, my dad, this was the worst sound ever. He would do this, and he would go. But my dad never cursed me. He never said he hated me. He never spanked me below the rear end. He never punched me. But when I did wrong, and it was more often than my sisters, although I turned out better than my sisters, of course, he would discipline me. You know what? There's ways to get your kids' attention. My kids are almost beyond the time of spankings. And by the way, you say spankings for today? I think there is, but I think there's a difference between hitting and spanking. A spanking is with a small rod, not a witchet, it's for the backside only. What most people do, they take their hand and they smack people's face. It's encouraged for you not to use your hand upon skin, because your hand is to caress your family, to love them. I love you. We hold hands. But a designated tool, like a belt, or my mom would have a wooden spoon. My mom had a drawer in the kitchen. There's stuff in there, like, you know, games and, like, what's going on? Other children's kids. I mean, everything was in the, and all of a sudden, wow. My mom did not hit as hard as my dad. But she would say, turn over. And she, wow. And I would laugh. Oh, she didn't like that. But it's just a designated something that you have. But now my kids are older. But you know what I see a lot of people do? Like their kids get bad. They go, oh, little Johnny, you can't believe it. After everything we've done for you. I said, that kid just needs a spanking. Because you nurture like this thing. You just nurture that thing and all of a sudden it's going to drive you crazy. Listen, I'm not here to talk about spanking. I'm just talking about discipline. Part of God's great love is when we get discipline because he pulls us back. I've been under the Lord's discipline. I've been under where I've been wrong, and God loves me so much he didn't want me to keep going down a wrong way, and God lets me get caught. God lets something get found out, or he convicts me. I have to go back and apologize, repent. Maybe I lied, and the Holy Spirit's working on me. Say, I got to get right. I can't hold this lie inside of me. God's working on me. I get right, and then the peace of God comes all upon me. Thank God that God disciplines me because he loves me as his child. Listen, if you do wrong, don't get mad at God. Say, oh, God, why are you such a mean God? No, he's a loving God who loves us. He's very practical and meet all of our needs. He disciplines and loves us because we can call him our Father. So God loves you so much to stay on top of you and to love you and to bless you. If you have an earthly father that does that for you, thank God. Now, let me just say this. There are so many broken families in the world that we live in. Everyone knows somebody. Maybe you have it yourself. But I want to encourage you in every situation, no matter what, stay in the church. And this is what I mean. But definitely if you're a single mom or single dad, I know it's hard. You have to do a double duty. I get it. I understand it. But you need to get your kids into Royal Rangers or Impact on Wednesday nights. We can help raise up your children. I can't go home with you. Believe me, I don't think most of you want me to go home with you. I'm a mess. I have my own issues. But when you come to church, if you'll bring your family, bring your kids just close to me. I'll give them high fives, down lows. I'll love on your kids. The pastors of our church, all of our pastors and our deacons, they're great examples of a Christian family. And so if your family's not the way it needs to be right now, but you say, look, I want to get my kids around positive role models, get them coming to church, get them coming, and just let them be part of a greater church body. How is it supposed to be? Join a small group. Don't rush in late and leave early. Just stick around. Get your kids in youth group. Be a part of it. Why? Because there's a heavenly Father, and he's close to us. We sense his presence. He's with us. We don't have to be perfect in our home. My family is not perfect. We're far from perfect. Everyone leaves their shoes around. You should see how you put the shoes away. I mean, if you hurt our family, like, nobody takes the initiative. There's dishes, like, in the sink and everything. Will somebody just put that in there? And our dishwasher, like the bottom part of it, the wheels always break off on it. And people are kicking it. I mean, we got problems. But that's part of family life. But God's present, and we stay in it. We fight for it, and we believe in it. Because it's personal. It's a father. And you don't have to be a perfect person. God loves you. He nurtures you. He helps you to grow up and mature. He disciplines you. He cares for you. You can know in your heart that you're approved by God. You're accepted by God. You don't have to walk around and say, God love me? Does he care about me? The best place to really feel that is at church. And I just want to say in deep in my heart, I know your family's messed up like my family. But I love you. I care deeply for your family. I care about your success of your family. God loves your family. You say, John, you don't understand. I know it. I don't have to know every detail, but I want you to know how important you are to me, to my wife. I know we can't be everywhere, every place, but you're part of Marlton Assembly of God, and we got some great people. I see these people up on the video, great people. I see these young people right here, great people. God has helped us. We have no major problems. There's no major division. There's only peace. There's grace. The presence of God is here. You say, are you a perfect church? No, we're not better than anybody. We're not trying to be perfect. We just have Jesus here. And God is good to us. And if you'll keep coming, you'll keep being faithful, you'll see God will start healing you and giving you grace. And we can call him a loving Father, and you can get to know him through his people. Number two, the Bible says, Father in heaven. So we say, where's God the Father? He is in heaven. The reason why I share that with you is because it's his perspective. I don't do a lot of traveling, but when I do, I either like to sit on the aisle or next to the window. In the middle, terrible, right? I just box people out like this. I don't care if they get mad or not, but I'm not going to sit like this. But I used to like sitting on the window. So we would fly to Detroit or fly home, and I always liked to see if I could see my house from the window. Anybody else? And even if you don't see it, you kind of say, I think I see it. And everyone's around you like, you're nut. You're nut, right? But then when you fly back into Philly or Newark, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, I could see the link. Baseball teams, I could see it, right? You kind of try, you try to think you could see it. God our Father, He's in heaven, the Bible says, and His perspective is different than yours. He sees the beginning and the end. He sees all of it. The problem with a human being is we can only see what's before us. So when you spend time with your Heavenly Father, your Father is up here and He can see it all. And He can see your life. And He can give you wisdom and guidance. Only thing you could do is just see it from this perspective. It's a very narrow scope. And Americans, we're the worst because we're individualist. So it's all about me and what I see. And you are nothing. You just keep bumping into problems and you're turning around. You're not going anywhere, doing anything. And we have more and more people unhappy, committing suicide. It's on the rise. We've been talking about people don't have fulfillment or joy because it doesn't pull into our history and it doesn't push into our future. We're just bumping into each other. But God the Father can help lead you out of that nonsense and move you toward vision and direction because of His perspective. He sees it from this point of view. He sees it from here. Me and you only see it from here. Look at this scripture that talks about our thoughts and His thoughts. Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts are my thoughts. Listen, the closer you get to God, every father in the room, the closer you get to God, you begin to hear His thoughts, His heartbeat, and His perspective, a heavenly perspective. Most people function on this earthly perspective, and it's just about now. It's just about money. It's just about the moment, living in the moment, and we make terrible decisions for the moment. And God says, if you have a heavenly perspective, an eternal perspective, if you listen to my voice, I will help you to see the big picture in your life. And that's why, this is not just for young people, but this is for all people. It's very important that we honor those that are older in our life. So we had a Marlton Christian Academy graduation, or we call it now moving up. Moving up, that's the Jeffersons, and we're moving on up. Everyone's changing everything. It's graduation, preschool graduation. That's where we graduate, moving up. All right, anyway, soapbox. We had 900 people here. The field house always has young people. We have lots of young people, graduation. But there's something important about honoring our parents. It's the first command with a promise. Honor your father and mother. Why? So their days will be long upon the earth. If you are younger, it's wise to listen to your parents, especially when you're starting to date, get married, get job, and plan for the future. Why do you listen to your parents? Not that they're always right, because they come from a different perspective. I just go to all the different places around Marlton, and I watch the relationship between parents and their kids, and there's so much tension, fighting and disrespect towards each other, and they miss out on the opportunity it is to have somebody older in the life to give words of wisdom and encouragement. Most people are like, well, my parents are stupid. They don't know. And it hurts because God calls us a heavenly father, and it's His perspective that gives us wisdom and guidance in our life. It's same thing true in the church. We say multicultural, that means everybody's welcome, every skin color is welcome, but it's also important that you have some older people that have a perspective that once things happen, we don't have to get wobbled off, we can keep trusting God, we'll get through this, the Lord will help us, keep coming to the altar, keep trusting Him. So I want to tell you, if you're older in this church, although we keep going younger, there's nothing wrong with going younger, because if I keep getting older, the church can't keep looking like me, lest we'll die. Does that make sense? As I get older, the church will continually not look like me. As you get older, the church will always feel like it's getting younger. Why? because it must stay relevant to the day, but that does not mean that you don't have a place. If you're getting older, you're very valuable to this church because your experience, that experience helps younger people mature and be one in Christ. Does that make sense? So if you're younger, listen to your parents. I teach my kids, obey me now. Obey me now because you can see me. But there's a day, I got a kid who's going to be a junior and a sophomore and a junior in college. They're just like a couple years away from them going doing what God's called them to do. Oh, they can still call me, but they're on their own. They got to know God's leading them. But I tell my children, obey me now because you can see me. There's going to be, you can't see God. You're going to have to trust God on your own. So moms and dads, teach your children to obey you. Young people, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your parents. Let me just say this. Everybody in this room, I'm just a regular guy just like you. But Tim Inlow said it like this. There are times where you'll hear God's voice through your pastors or through your leaders, small group leaders. Tim Inlow says the American church is like a menu. They're just kind of picking and choosing what they want to do. But there'll be some times where God, you will hear God's voice as I'm speaking by His Holy Spirit speak to you. But we are so menu-driven, we pick and choose what we want to do. All I suggest to you is sometimes when God speaks to you, although I'm not different in my fiber and nature than you, God does speak through the pastors and spiritual leadership over your life. And if you obey what they tell you to do, it will go well with you and God will bless you. So let's just say someone needs some advice, some financial advice or relationship advice. You go, hey, Pastor Chad, can I talk to you for a second after church? And he says, listen, dude, if I were you, I wouldn't jump into that relationship right away. And he's, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay. Pastor Chad does not get a raise or he doesn't take a loss because of that. You just asked his opinion. If you follow that direction, it could be a great blessing to your life. Let me just suggest this. Even if Pastor Chad would be wrong on something, if you obey, God can still work it out for your good. Does that make sense? You go up to Pastor Liz after church. Pastor Liz, can you pray with me about something? You know, I'm really thinking about going and watching this movie. Pastor Liz says, why don't you go slow with watching that movie? Why don't you take time to pray and fast? You say, oh, I hate fasting. Well, you just missed out on the blessing that could come their way. Let me just tell you how this works. Sometimes God gives me information before He gives it to you. Once in a while, sometimes I'll be in a meeting, and all of a sudden I'm like saying stuff. I'm like, oh, I think the Lord is leading us this way. We're just starting to talk it out. There's some direction here. Sometimes I'm privy to some information that kind of comes my way before the whole congregation knows it. So if you hear me talking, hey, we're believing God right now. If you listen, we're believing right now for children's ministry. Oh, what is that? What's Pastor John saying? He carries the weight of it. He sees it from his perspective. Like, I'm on Google Maps. I look down. I see everything. I see the school building. I see the church building. I see the kids ministry. I see the field house. I have to see it all. Most people come to church, and they just see their own little world. I am forced to see the whole thing. Once in a while, I actually do know what I'm talking about. I know we joke around and all that, but once in a while, you'll feel God's Spirit say, you don't even have to tell me. Just go and obey the Lord. It will go well with you. It's because of perspective. If you all jumped inside of my head, inside of my body, you'd be calling for this church to pray and fast for 30 days. I'm telling you why. Because if God can get Marlton, He can get the state of New Jersey. If you can get the state of New Jersey, you can get America. But there's a battle right now for the soul of Marlton and this area. There's a spiritual war. If God would open up the curtain, you would see above my head, above the pastor's head, the deacon's head, the spiritual fist fight that's going on for the souls of people for eternity. It's happening all around us. So when you engage God, say, God, what's going on? Why do I sense this tension? Pastor John has to make decisions about staffing and development and looking at it from his perspective. He has to do what he has to do, not just to serve the Lord, but to move the church forward. And it's from that perspective you have to trust me and trust the Lord at times in your life, in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? I'm not saying I'm right all the time, but once in a while, Our Father in heaven has a different perspective than us. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15 says it like this. Oh, I have it right here. Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. You know what the Apostle Paul is saying? You have a lot of people go to church, but you don't have a lot of fathers in the house. I want to challenge every man to grow up in the faith and not just survive and go to church and say, I'm a man that goes to Marlton Assembly of God, but be a spiritual father. In the church of Corinth, they didn't have a lot of grown men deep in their faith. You know what I want to do for you as long as God has me here? I want to grow to be a spiritual father. Some of you guys don't have dads. You don't have fathers to talk to. But as I get older, I want to be a spiritual father. You know, as you guys, men, get older, I want you guys to be spiritual fathers for other people. Don't want you to be dirty old men that look at girls. Be silly old men who just care about money and goof around with sports. Spiritual men, strong in the Lord from a different perspective, say, you know what? We need to do something about what's happening in America. We're going to be spiritual fathers, and we're going to rise up and be strong in the Lord. And that comes from a perspective, understanding it's not just about this world. There's a spiritual world, and God's calling you for greatness. Every father in the room, God's calling you for greatness. And it comes from a spiritual life, from a perspective that this life is short, and we must trust Him. We grow up spiritually. So even if you don't feel like coming to an altar, you come. You say, oh, that word's not for me. You come. Your kids need to see you come. Young people need to see you come. I think it's wonderful what's happening in North Korea and America right now. Not for political reasons. They're saying now missionaries are going to start marching in from South Korea into North Korea and share the gospel. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that. We think that's wonderful. But it could all switch on a dime. And all it says is, hey, forget it. And nukes could come from somewhere else, from Iran, Iraq, it could come from North Korea, and it lands somewhere in America, and all of a sudden, our whole world, anything can change for Marlton Assembly of God, and people will come to the church, and they need to find somebody who knows how to pray. They need to see a father who needs to call on the name of the Lord, and they'll see Pastor John and Pastor Chad and Damien on Wednesday nights at 6:30 calling on the Lord. He's faithful and good. Oh, people are not taking it seriously. We're calling on the name of the Lord. We're believing God. When people need something, they need a spiritual father to believe God for the supernatural. And you learn when no one's looking at you. You just keep doing it. You just keep trusting young men. Listen, I'm telling you, it's real. I'm telling you, this is real stuff. It's more real than the money in your cell phones. You trust the Lord. You believe God. And people will come to you because you're a spiritual father in the faith. You say, John, where'd you learn to pray? From my dad. My dad used to put me next to him on the altar. He put his arm around me. I hated it. I'm like, when's this going to end? He prayed too long. It drove me crazy. But you know what I find myself doing? Praying just like him. Oh, God, we need you. My kids need you. Church needs you. This world is crazy. We need you. And you grow and say, God, I want my life to count from a perspective of heaven. Then finally, number three, holy is your name. Father in heaven, personal. Perspective, holy is your name. God's name is pure. If you want to get close to God, one of the great ways to do is do a study on God's name. Go and Google search the character and nature of God. Jehovah Jireh, God's provider. Jehovah Nissi, He's our banner. Know that God is omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. That means He's all-knowing. He's true. He's loving. He's just. But maybe one of the big ones for us today is He's holy. God is holy. The Stanley family, you share with me, right, that you had a job, I think, maybe 6 months ago in Medford. The people who did the curbs didn't do it in the right way. You were going to do the asphalt on top of it, line it, stripe it, put signs on there. Nobody would have known until the first rainfall. If the curbs aren't holy, if they're not right, you can put the asphalt down, but then everyone's going to walk through these puddles and be upset with the landlord. To put asphalt down, you have to have curbs that are holy, that are right, so that whatever comes on top of it can be built upon it. Yesterday, I had to go to the Home Depot in the morning, and I went to get some wood, a 2x4. And they had a whole bunch of them. I think it was 2x4x12, if I had it right, 2x4x8. And I noticed, I picked up one, and I, construction guys, I looked down the plank of a 2x4, and it was all wavy. And I put that one down because I needed a good piece of wood that was holy, because I needed it to fix something on the shed, and people were going to walk on there. So I couldn't have people trip. It would have to carry the weight of holiness. I don't know anything about stairs, but somebody built these stairs, and I think they built them properly. How many inches between each step? Four inches? 5 inches? 6 inches? So you can almost see with your eye. Between here and here is 6 inches. Maybe carpet makes it 5 inches. Between here and here makes it 6 inches. Between here and here is 6 inches. Between here and here is 6 inches. Could you imagine if the guy who built this was unholy? He might have built one down like 2 inches. And the next one like 12 inches. And everyone who would have come up here would have fallen because the stairs are unholy. Holiness is not just sexual purity, although that's part of it. Holiness means that the foundation is right and anything that comes on top of it can stand. Let me explain. The scriptures, the Bible, are called the Holy Scriptures or the Holy Bible. So whatever comes upon it, on top of it, is a firm foundation to whoever believes it. So if you read something in the book of Leviticus, you say, what does this matter to me in the Leviticus? Why should I not have mold under my kitchen sink? And God says, I want your kitchen sink to be holy. Well, that's the Old Testament covenant or whatever. God says, listen, I want God's people to be holy because whatever comes upon this house, the kids that live in there, if they sniff the mold, they're going to get sick. It's not holy. If this step needed a chair rail or a handrail, if the township came in and said, you need a permit, and you need to put one there because it's holy. If not, people would fall to the left or to the right. God is holy. You can build your life upon him and anything he says. His word is holy. It's perfect. Anything it says. You say, what does Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament have to do with my life in 2018? Everything. Because when you read it, God can speak to you. And because that's true, it can be applied to your life today because it's holy. You will not fall. You will not trip. This step is not made proper. It's unholy. You'll fall and you'll fail every single time. God's spirit is holy. Anything that God says to you will always be true. If he speaks to you in your heart, it's always right. Always pure. 100% right. Matter of fact, the Bible says there's no darkness in God. Watch this. And I'm almost done. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is a message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. The Bible goes on to tell us that he cannot lie. Titus 1, verse 2. Watch this. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Fathers, on Father's Day, the number one thing that you could do for your family is always tell the truth. Come out of the dark, come out of lying, and tell the truth. Why? Because it's a foundation for your family to live on. The Holy Spirit. You remember in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied. There was a great move of God, and people were selling property. Could you imagine someone in Medford selling a house for $700,000, bringing it to the church, say, we want to pay off the field house? Wow. They're bringing that. They said they put it on the apostles' feet. Can you imagine all the deacons come up here? You put, hey, here's $700,000. People are like, wow, look at all the people are hooping and hollering. And there's these two shysters named Ananias and Sapphira. They too sold a piece of property. It wasn't wrong that they sold it. They didn't even have to give it, but they decided to lie and actually kind of say that they sold it for more, and they were kind of hustling the congregation. Look how much we're going to give too. And Peter stopped them by the power of the Holy Spirit, which always brings truth. He says, you've not lied to men, but to God. The Holy Spirit is true and brings life, and you can build upon it. Listen, if you tell the truth, you can build a life to honor God. If you lie, you'll always get caught. You're always looking over your shoulder, and you'll be a hustler the rest of your life. God is holy, and you can build your life upon him. So when you read the Bible, it's holy. You can take a giant step forward. You read the next portion of Scripture, it's holy. It's always true. Young people, you can build your life in an unholy world by being close to God's word, and God will order your steps and you will have success. You say, I'm too busy. I like the social media more than I like God. And all of a sudden you get into this unholy world and it brings you down. And you're like, well, I don't have success. Why am I not moving forward? Because your foundation is rocky, and God calls us to live on the holiness of his spirit, the holiness of his word, and he will give us success in Jesus' name. Father in heaven, holy is your name. So if he's holy and can only tell you the truth, and you ask him and he tells you the truth, you have the answer. You could build your life. Whatever he says, just do it and obey. And you could trust him in Jesus' name. He's faithful and he's good. And here's the bottom line. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. This is the gospel message. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so he might become the righteousness of God. So here's the problem. We're unholy. We can't make right with God, but God gave us, the Father gave the Son, the Holy Son, to us. When Jesus died on the cross, there was a spiritual transaction. He became unholy, and we became holy, and salvation is now we could build our life and move forward in Jesus' name. If you have salvation, you could build from there. You ask Jesus in your heart, you could build from there. Say, Lord, what's my next step? He'll show you. It'll be holy. Keep trusting him, and he'll be holy, and he'll lead you and guide you. You say, Lord, I'm just so full of sin and unholiness and all this stuff. I want to ask Jesus. Invite Jesus. Every dad in the room, just invite Jesus. Put your head on his heart. Say, Lord, I want to hear your heartbeat. Lord, I want my kids to hear your heartbeat. I want my wife to hear your heartbeat. I want my cousins to hear your heartbeat. And you just come, you put your... How can you be a father in today's world? My Father in heaven, holy is your name. He makes us holy. Left to ourselves, we're a bunch of knuckleheads. We have problems, but we draw close to God, and God is so good. There's so much stress on the American family today. I think there's just sometimes God wants you to slow down and says, you know what? I love you. I care about you. I know what you're going through, your business, your marriage, your family, your kids, single mom, single dad, no kids, whatever it is. God says, I love you and I care about you. I want to be your heavenly Father. And if you'll treat your kids the way I treat you, you'll have successful kids. Ladies and gentlemen, when I came here 10 years ago, my kids were 10, 9, and 4. Today, they're 20, 19, and 14. I think two of them are doing pretty good. I'm not sure about the 14-year-old, you know what I'm saying? I'm just joking. No, we're raising them. Left to myself, I'm not holy. There's nothing inside of me that's holy. But when I follow the Lord, it's holy. It's a firm step, strong step. Lord, I can't do this. Keep trusting me. That's a strong step. I don't know what to do. Lord, what are we going to do now? I'll get you through it. Keep being holy. Lord, I can't do it. No, my word. Lord, what are we going to do with the finances? I'll provide all your needs. Lord, but what about these emotions and these feelings? I'm faithful. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Keep trusting me. And his every step along the way is his holiness and his grace, because he's a great heavenly Father. Would you stand with me in the Lord's presence? He's a good, good Father. I serve a great God. You know what God promises me when I pray the way he teaches me to pray? My Father in heaven, holy is your name. He said he'll reward me. Go into your prayer closet, close the door, turn off the cell phone, turn off the worship music, just me and you. I'm going to show you my nature, my character, and if you'll do that, I'll reward you. Every man in this room, God wants to reward you with his presence. He wants to reward your home with peace. He wants to grace you supernaturally from the top down. He's a good, good Father. He loves you. Every mom in the room, every single person, every young person, God wants you to know about the love of our Heavenly Father. You don't need to know what to call him. Oh, what do I call God? Watch, this is how you talk to God. Ready? This is how you talk to him. Father, we have some problems down here in your church right now. We really need some divine intervention. Would you give us your peace? Would you give us your grace? Father, I need you. I need you, Lord. Don't call him the big man upstairs. Don't call him far away, God, although he's in heaven, his spirit comes and brings peace and grace. I know him intimately. He assures me that I'm his own. He assures me that I'm going to heaven. I get insecure all the time. Lord, maybe I'm not good enough or I'm not a good enough person. He says, it's never been about you. I've given you my son, Jesus, who makes you the righteousness of God. The Father gives his son for the church. The fathers love the family. They care and live amongst the people. His presence, his holiness sustains us and guides us, and we can walk secure. Can we sing that song, He's a Good, Good Father? I'm going to invite all the fathers in the house to come stand around this altar. We're going to give us some socks in a minute. I invite you to come. We're going to close this service. It's who you are.